Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. And who are Paradigm Shifters? Well, these are great change times in the collective on our planet, the way we're all thinking and being. And there's some people that are spearheading changes. I like to call them Paradigm Shifters. And I have a really interesting fellow here with us today, Dr. Preston Maring, who's been shifting some of the consciousness around Kaiser Permanente Hospital. Would you say that? Welcome to the show, Dr. Maring.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, it's quite funny to think that you as a doctor would bring Farmer's Market right to the hospital. I love that. But it's funny because a lot of people want to say you'd never do that, right?
Yeah, I think that was a surprise to a lot of people when we first started 6 years ago.
Well, now, was it a surprise to you?
Well, it was. It was just one of those things, one of those ideas that just comes to you in the moment when you don't really expect it. I mean, I've been at my hospital now in Oakland, California for over 38 years as a primary care obstetrician and gynecologist, and so many, many times I've walked through the hospital lobby when there have been various vendors of one kind or another selling something in the lobby, and it just struck me a few years ago how none of that really seems to have anything to do with the real mission of our healthcare program. And I just thought to myself, you know, if we can sell jewelry or clothing or something else in the hospital lobby, why not something that has something to do with good health? And I just wondered whether or not it might be possible to put a farmer's market outside.
As far
as I knew, yeah. Well, I mean, as far as I knew at the time, there were no farmers markets at hospitals around the country. I mean, around the San Francisco Bay Area where I live, there are many farmers markets, but they were all markets that you would drive to, walk to, take a bike to, or take public transport. They were, you know, on a closed-off street or in a community park. And as far as I knew at the time, there were no farmers markets at a place where people normally gather already to take advantage of a collection of people that come to a location on a regular basis. So it seemed like a model that was worth exploring.
And you know what's fascinating to me? I think it's a brilliant idea, actually. You're a brilliant man. But I think that the thing that is touching me as you're talking is usually around hospitals, there was kind of like a dead space where it was very antiseptic. You never saw anything interesting, really. You know, that's the way it used to be anyway, huh?
Well, hospitals certainly can have that side of them. But then, you know, at my hospital, there are, I think, something like 77 languages spoken on staff for the people here. And the place is in one of the most diverse cities in America. And to me, it's hardly anything but, it's everything but antiseptic. I mean, there are lots of good people of goodwill and good spirit that come here on a daily basis and hope to be able to do good things for someone. So the physical plant can look antiseptic, and the people here can help make it a good place.
Well, so what does the farmer's market look like? Is it like on the outside? Is there a wall? Is there a tent? Is there what is?
Yeah, there are all those things. When I thought about doing a farmer's market first, just to back up just a little, it was clear that I knew absolutely nothing about how to start or run a farmer's market. I mean, I had...
Are you a gardener?
Yeah, I'm a gardener, but I knew nothing about the actual process of organizing a market that would work for the farmers. And I knew there were lots and lots of details that I didn't know, so I sought help. And
smart guy.
I first, which is what I do when I don't know something, is I immediately run for help. And first I went to the Berkeley Ecology Center, who ran the local Berkeley farmers markets, and I had difficulty, you know, finding someone to talk to on the one day I visited. And then on a Sunday, I went to Oakland's Jack London Square Farmers Market, which has about...
I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got about 60 vendors. It's a beautiful market. And I saw a vendor who was selling kind of multi-ethnic produce. I mean, he had pasilla peppers and Chinese long beans, and he had a real mix of people at his farm stand. And I decided, I said, you know, gee, the people shopping there look just like the people that use my hospital. Let me ask him and just talk to him about my idea. And
great.
He said, well, you know what? He said, the man you need to talk to is right, just happens to be about 10 feet away. And there was Mr. John Silvera, the director of the Pacific Coast Farmers Market Association, which at the time ran 22 farmers markets in the Bay Area. It's a nonprofit based in Concord. And he happened to be right there. And I introduced myself and said, you know, I'd like to know if you'd consider maybe starting a market at a Kaiser Permanente hospital here in Oakland. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, your mission and my mission are the same. He said, we are both trying to create health in the community just in different ways. And he said, I'm happy to explore the idea. So I was totally thrilled that this man would even consider it. And we met a couple weeks later, and that gets to the point you asked, well, what does the market look like? He looked at this kind of odd-shaped sidewalk space I had that does have room for about 8 vendors,
mm-hmm.
and it's outside of an office building, and it's in the bright sunshine, and it's right directly surrounding the foot traffic that comes from a parking garage. And he kind of scratched his head and said, well, you know, it sure doesn't look like the usual kind of place where we have a market, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Yay.
And the following spring, we opened. And with, you know, lots of background work in between, where I talked to various people at my hospital, and of course, some of the physicians I knew thought I was nuts, and they said I was going to cause salmonella, and I was going to bring bugs into the hospital, and, you know, I got some static, and some accused me of just being, you know, from Berkeley, and I got all kinds of heat. And so I ignored them.
Good old Berkeley. I always
Yeah, I know. I ignored them and found other people who just said, hey, that's a great idea. Let me help you. And in fact, you know, one of the things, as you can imagine, that you'd have to figure out is the details about liability insurance and that kind of thing. Well, there was a brand new corporate attorney for Kaiser Permanente, a woman named Sandra Golzi. She had just joined us about a week before at the regional office. She turned around a contract and an agreement with the Market Association in 3 days.
Oh, wow, she was on your side.
Just right, absolutely. And others said, well, let's talk to the neighborhood associations to be sure they're okay with it. Well, they were thrilled to have a market come to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to local grocery stores, and they understood that an all-organic market one day a week was not a threat. And, in fact, if it got people interested in eating good, sustainably grown foods, maybe their business would actually increase.
Hmm.
So we tried to figure out everyone who was going to be nervous about it or have a problem, and then we took steps to mitigate those issues ahead of time. And so when we opened the market on May 16th, it was 2003, it was just like a block party outside of our facility.
Exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was a great, beautiful, sunny day. And the,
so you didn't really ever encounter any big blocks or anything?
Not at all. Everything just, like magic, kind of fell into place because we really carefully, you know, we anticipated some of the issues. We decided not to offer any milk products, cheese, or any, you know, poultry, fish, or anything else because the employees don't have refrigeration.
Right.
You know, so we decided to only sell products that could keep at an employee's work area, you know, until the end of the workday. We decided to just do flours, food, and whole grains. We also agreed with the market association that the farmers market would essentially clean up after itself, so there was no adverse impact on the environmental services workers and so forth at our hospital.
And everybody cooperated?
Yeah, exactly. And
so were all the people that came to the market from inside the hospital, or did people start arriving from the neighborhood as well?
Oh, people came in from the neighborhood. There were baby brigades, you know, strollers of young babies that would get peach juice on their face. And, you know, there was, I'll never forget one little girl, I think a little Japanese girl, maybe 2 years old. She sampled her first pomegranate seeds, got a big smile on her face, and then did a face plant into the palm of her mother's hand where there were more seeds. And when she stood up, she had this bright purple ring all around her mouth with the biggest smile I've ever seen. You know, it was just wonderful.
And did you sell out? Did all the stuff get bought? I mean,
yes, in fact, the strawberry vendor did $2,000 worth of business that first day.
Wow.
The stone fruit vendor, people from Lone Oak Ranch in Reedley, California, they've now been at our market every single Friday for over 6 years. They had the best sales day that they had had all year at any market. And it wasn't just our staff people. It was the local neighborhood, and it was also patients coming in to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, in fact, on the opening day, one woman ran up to me sort of breathless and said, "How much longer is the market going to be open?" And I said, "Oh, I think about another hour." She said, "Oh, good. I've got to drop my husband off in the emergency room, and I'll be right back." You know,
it's so brilliant. Are you conscious of nutrition? I mean, was this part of your deal, or did you just love gardening? And
I'm certainly conscious of it, but my consciousness around nutrition is basically eating fresh foods, seasonal when I can, and foods of many different colors. And that's about as detailed as I get, because there are lots of others around who have lots of expertise that I don't have around all the various nutrient contents and so forth. And I just eat food because it's beautiful, it's fun, and it tastes good. And I don't know. If you just eat a wide variety of everything California has to offer, you can't go wrong.
Well, now, I want to know, when you developed your cookbook, and did you always demonstrate cooking at these things, or
here's what happened. I mean, the market started in May of 2003, and then I thought, well, gee, maybe I could do something to promote the market, and I thought maybe I'd start putting out a recipe every week. So my first recipe was for bruschetta, you know, just take a good country bread and broil the slices and then brush it with a little olive oil, rub them with garlic, and make a great tomato, you know, parsley, red onion, a little red wine vinegar, and so forth, using things from the market.
Did you do it on site? Did you have a barbecue or something?
No. What I did there was I just posted a recipe and sent out an email to a bunch of people at the hospital.
Oh, I see.
And then the word got around at the hospital, and then people started sending the emails to other places, and pretty soon there was a send-all list. And then for a couple of years, I managed a distribution list that got bigger and bigger and bigger. Then I got in trouble with the IT people because the distribution list was too big. So then it turned into a blog, and now It's a website, and I just post anytime I try a new recipe of something that I can cook, I post it and share it.
Oh, that's great. Well, what's the website?
And, it is kp.org/farmersmarketrecipes, all one word, Farmers Market Recipes. And that's it. And then there's archives now on the website back to 2003. And the basic theory is if I can cook it, anybody can cook it. You know, I mean, it's, and we are just starting now. Just last Friday, just for fun, I did do a cooking demo out at the market. I just, on short notice, decided to work with, show basic knife skills and make a vinaigrette. And, you know, on short notice, probably 30 people showed up to...
Well, that's great.
You know, and I'm planning on going forward. Any Friday I'm here at the hospital just doing some sort of an impromptu cooking demo using whatever's at the market.
And a stethoscope.
Well, I don't do that. I don't, I'm not one of those guys that wears a white coat and a stethoscope around my neck to go to a local restaurant. You know, I don't do that.
Well, I guess I'm curious about how, like, you said there was room for eight tables at the beginning, and did it kind of grow fast? And obviously,
what happened is we had eight vendors right at the start on opening day, and you asked what it looks like. Well, they are set up with, you know, beautiful white tents over their tables. The tables have a whole array of vegetables. What is different from a local market is that the panel trucks and the farmers' trucks are not parked, obviously they're not parked on the sidewalk. So the vendors drop their product off in the morning, we provide them parking in our parking structure, and then they come back. So all we have out in front of the hospital are the tents and tables with all the good food.
And then did it get bigger? I mean, did you have to expand around the hospital or anything?
Well, no, we couldn't really expand. My hospital's in a real, you know, kind of urban location without a lot of options of where else to go. But what did expand was that the market idea has now reached, Kaiser Permanente has 37 markets around the country now. And there are markets at many, many other healthcare systems now around the country.
Is that ever exciting, hey?
Yeah, I was, I think it was probably in the fall of the first year when I got an email from Hawaii, a woman named Ashlyn Azumo, who went out herself and found seven farmers. She didn't have a farmers market association to work with. She just went out herself into Oahu countryside, got seven farmers willing to come into the Honolulu Kaiser Permanente facility, and I got this email from her that said, you know, a horn blew, a blessing was given, and history recreated itself.
and isn't that great?
And their market started, and they have three active markets now on Oahu, and I get to visit them actually in September.
Oh, wow, and you're going to give cooking demonstrations.
Yeah, I'll just do fun things, except I have no right to be cooking in Hawaii. I need to learn from them what to cook or how to do their local foods.
Well, tell me this. Has this been really, like I believe you started doing this in 2003 when you were given options of changing, or what is your choice in career, or are you going to semi-retire? Do I understand that right?
Well, not. I mean, having been here for so long, I've had many different careers that, you know, started with practicing all nonstop. I mean, just practicing medicine and doing surgery and doing deliveries and things. And then I began doing some work in the administrative aspects in my specialty. Then I worked at the administrative aspects, too, of helping run the hospital. And I have a number of other, you know, responsibilities and interests in what's called tertiary care services, program development, like pediatric neurosurgery or pediatric rehabilitation. I work with those things, but the focus on something that's good for employees and good for our patients and, you know, kind of good for health in general can be part of anyone's career here. You know, you can, that's what I found with this whole farmers market movement, is that there were people throughout Kaiser Permanente who had regular jobs within the program who would kind of dig down deep inside and find what I call discretionary energy. And they would create more and just make good things happen. I mean, there are people all over who took the basic farmers market idea and created new and better things.
Yeah, wonderful. So it's really gardening people's psyche and soul.
Well, it does. It's almost like the markets became, if you will, a substrate for people to use to build something new. A good example, I think, is a woman named Terry Simpson Tucker is a hospital administrator at the San Jose Kaiser Permanente facility. And they had a market for a while, and then she got the program to purchase and outfit a mobile cooking van with, you know, the whole propane cooking demonstration mobile units with the overhead mirrors and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they funded hiring of a chef, and that program called Cookin' the Market went to 152 community events last year.
Wow.
Doing cooking demos using farmers market fresh food. So that's just a great example of someone taking the farmers market and then taking it to a whole new level.
That's a wonderful idea, too, because it really bridges a huge gap in the way people understand the medical, I believe.
Oh, yes. I mean, what we try to focus on is the connection between good food and good health. I mean, I think when you look at healthcare in this country, and there's all the conversations about how do we fund primary care and how do we fund specialty care, and with all the debates going on around healthcare, if we don't have food and exercise and joy, if you will, as a foundation, a foundation for our lives, we don't have good food, we don't get up and move, we'll overwhelm healthcare system anyway. So food is really a foundation of good health, and what better way to celebrate it than with a fresh peach in the middle of July?
I think that's absolutely perfect. Yeah, that's great. So you're a musician as well. I read that. I read it about you.
Well, I'd say I'm spending more time cooking these days than I am playing instruments, but because I have to come up with a new recipe every week, you know, so there's lots to do with experimenting. So it's been fun to watch the markets grow and then to watch the other things that have spun off from the markets.
I'm very excited. So this is just going into the culinary expertise that you've got. I think this is the one you learned from your son. You were telling me about two boards and some...
cherry tomatoes.
About? Yeah.
Cherry tomatoes.
Can you give some wonderful tips?
I can describe this. This one was so exciting. I changed my life when I learned it from my son. You take a couple of plastic lids from plastic storage containers. The lids can be maybe 6 inches square or 6 inches around, you know, maybe a Tupperware lid if you want a trade name, a brand name. But you can take a dozen or dozen and a half cherry tomatoes, if they're relatively uniform size, put them between the two lids and just hold down the top lid firmly, not so firmly so as to squash the tomatoes, and then take a good 10-inch sharp chef's knife and just run it horizontally between the two lids, and you take the lids off, and your cherry tomatoes are all in half. And it's just like magic.
Oh, that's great. People love those little things, don't
oh,
they?
Oh, it makes cooking fun. Or when you learn to mince garlic, rather than running it through a garlic press and then having to dig all the skin out with your fingernail, you know, out of the garlic press,
right.
You just, you know, you cut off the stem end of the clove, smash it a bit with the side of your chef's knife, grab the other end of the garlic clove and just knock it up and down a couple times on the cutting board. The garlic just jumps out of the skin, and it's so much easier than trying to, you know, peel the skin off one way or another. So I think probably kitchen skills are a good place to focus to help people really enjoy what they're doing. I mean, a good knife, a cutting board, learn how to use it, it can make a big difference.
Yeah, put a little showmanship in there, too. It's, instead of
yeah.
it being a boring, basic job, it's interesting, hey?
Yeah, sure. If you learn to mince garlic, you can get a good rhythm going. And, you know, I'm pretty convinced that if people learn to do simple things at home using fresh food, you can prepare meals for a family much less expensively than buying packaged and processed foods. And, you know, you can certainly save a lot of money by cooking some simple meals at home as opposed to going out to a restaurant. And
yeah,
in this economy, why not? And then people say, well, I don't have the time, or I've got too many kids, et cetera. Those are all important factors, but there are lots and lots of ways, too, to get children involved. There's in the chopping and dicing, I'm learning that little kids, even as young as 4 years old, love to get involved dicing, like tomato slices, for example, using one of those plastic lettuce knives you can buy. It's a good sharp knife. It actually works, but it won't cut human skin. So it's a
and the other thing is you're teaching the
do.
Kind of the fun and the art of it all, which is a lot better than just saying we got to keep creating meals all the time, right?
Oh, that's right. Oh, it's absolutely fun. And there's, I mean, some of the best memories I have of being with my son when he was a little kid are, you know, even making peanut butter balls with raisins and other things in them, you know, just simple basic stuff.
Yeah, and I can remember making amazing cookies with my daughter. We had it down to a very quick thing, but we were good at it. She was
That's right. And if
I'm going to give out the phone number because there might be people who want to ask you some questions. And one other thing I want to ask you is, I have many things, but did the people, or have you had an impact on the food of the hospital? Have you been able to... You know
oh, definitely.
I mean,
in fact, 3.5 years ago, we looked at how we were getting the fruits and vegetables for, at the time, 19 Northern California Kaiser Permanente hospitals, and we analyzed where all 60 fruits and vegetables came from, and we found, for example, that we shipped in a ton of red seedless grapes from Chile and 2 tons of black plums from Idaho when those grapes and those plums are grown not too far away right here in the Central Valley of California.
Oh, wow. And they're all organic, right?
They are here, and they weren't in the past. And, and we did not have what we had was ordering the food just whenever we wanted it. And we didn't really have a focus on where it was coming from. So we began to work with the central commissary that puts all of our food together. And they, again, there were magic people there. I met people who had been making salads for Kaiser Permanente patients for like 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked to them about, you know, how'd you like to be able to have organic cherry tomatoes to put on top of your salads, they were thrilled to be able to have really good food like that to work with. So we changed the system, and that first year we had about 25 tons of local foods coming into our hospital and our hospitals. And last year we had 75 tons of food.
And, wow, isn't that exciting? And nobody objected? Nobody gave a big fuss about the old way?
No. I mean, no. But, in fact, people appreciated it. And, yes, it had some operational impact on the people that put the food together, but they saw the bigger picture, and they were willing to work with the inconveniences of not getting conventionally grown cherry tomatoes every single day, ripe and ready. They were willing to deal with the fact that the cherry tomatoes had to get hauled, and, you know, there's a lot of little operational details. But we started offering some good fruits and vegetables on the inpatient service, and it's been a fun transformation. And what's exciting to me is that the small startup nonprofit distribution folks that started working with us, they're called the Growers Collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small nonprofit that's part of a bigger nonprofit called the Community Alliance with Family Farmers, CAFF.org. Has been around 35 years as a major agricultural advocate in California. The small nonprofit that spun off from them helped us with distribution. And because of Kaiser Permanente's background of support and institutional purchasing, the Growers Collaborative is now serving about 24 hospitals, 30 Bon Appetit sites, UC Berkeley, UC Davis, and some local schools, and also some public service organizations.
Well, that's tremendous. Now, just let me give the number in case anybody wants to ask you a specific question. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Maring, Dr. Preston Maring, please call in 888-815-9756. This is really such a brilliant example of how the old systems can meet the new systems in a really, fruitful way, in a vegetable-old way.
Yes, things have grown organically, if you will, yes.
I'm really excited about it. I mean, even things like psychological problems can be helped with fresh food of a great variety, right?
Well, without doing a clinical study, I see lots and lots of people smiling when they have their big bags of fruits and vegetables. And when people see me coming, even though I try not to be a food police person, they hide their bag of Doritos behind their back, you know. And
maybe they got them from the organic Dorito tree.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
I want to say something funny for me is because I'm a sensitive, which you probably know all about from your family and so on. But when I get really cranky or nervous or depressed, I eat a lot of raw broccoli.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that you were called Dr. Broccoli. I thought, oh, that's just wonderful.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, I think just spending time, particularly with someone you love, cooking together has all kinds of beneficial possibilities. I mean, that's some of my favorite time is when I get to spend it cooking with people I like.
And, you know, there you have a son who's actually a cook, a chef, right?
Yeah, he became a chef after college, worked at that for a little while, and then actually decided to go into medicine. And now he's created cooking classes teaching medical students how to cook at NYU. He created a 6-session class for 20 med students. He bought them all cutting boards, chef's knives, and he had 6 different sessions. You know, they focused on healthy fats, whole grains. They made soups. They did vinaigrettes. And he hopes that by encouraging them to learn to cook themselves, just maybe they'll talk to their patients more about you know, good, healthy food when they're actually working as physicians.
So they're really teaching them to be the information as much as just learn about it, right?
Well, that's right. It's hard to advocate for something if you're not living it yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful, wonderful story. And why did they call you Dr. Broccoli? Is that obvious? It's just because of your vegetable predilection?
I think so. I think it was just one of the... In fact, there was an article in one of the local newspapers, and they just dubbed me Dr. Broccoli. That was their choice, and then the name stuck. You know, and it's...
I love it. I think you should have a TV show.
Well, I don't know about a TV show, although... Over the last few months, little did I know that I'd ever be on TV doing cooking demos. And so I've made a little bit of the morning talk show circuit here in San Francisco, actually back in Baltimore, and just recently in Cleveland. So
was that fun? Did you love it?
Oh, it is fun. It's a challenge to get a message out about the importance of good food as, you know, prevention and so forth, and to make a chilled tomato soup all in 4.5 minutes.
Well, you doctors are supposed to be wonder people anyway. We're putting right up on a pedestal here.
Hardly, no. That what that's called is thinking it through and being prepared so that you have a lot of the things all diced up at once, and all you have to do are the finishing touches actually on television.
Well, I think that's one. I mean, it's really a huge, huge, huge service. Well, where do you see it all going? Like, what's your dream about it? Are you just letting it unfold and unravel?
No, what I'm seeing is, so first we create markets, and they've spread all over the place. Next, we worked at the inpatient food system, and then following that, we've created models to bring fresh fruits and vegetables into people's office buildings that can be delivered directly to their desk.
Wonderful. Wow.
So if someone can't get to a farmer's market because they have a busy life, they can still get, you know, a wide array of fruits and veggies delivered right to their desk to take home. And that's enabled a focus on small local growers. You know, it's really to support local agriculture. Mm-hmm. So we've got that model going, and we've got...
Well, I think it's more than that. I think it's to focus on the consciousness of the species, actually. Wake them up. Bring the Mojave to the mountains.
Exactly. it's bringing food to people. But what I'm realizing is that just making a healthy choice easy does not at all guarantee that a broad number of people are actually going to do something with it or are actually going to cook. Because what I've been seeing and learning from just some recent community or employee events I did back, for example, in the mid-Atlantic states, I was in D.C. recently, and I'd meet with 30 or 40 employees at a time, do a cooking demo, talk about good food and health, and I ask questions about how often people actually cooked at home. And a lot of people said that they would go out for dinner with their families, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week.
Hmm.
And I asked about, and I asked people, well, you know, what kind of vinaigrette do you like? And they just said, well, I open up a bottle. Hmm. And what I'm realizing is that it's almost important to go back to basics. And so being
drafted... It's kind of reclaiming our taste buds as
right,
well, isn't it?
Exactly. Reclaiming taste buds and reclaiming the skills needed to make something that tastes good. And so, you know, we're looking at starting up cooking classes, actually, for new employee orientation. Because when I think about the young employee, the young employees coming into my program, 30 or 40 a month, sometimes 50, you know, they go through an orientation, and for 20 years I've been giving a speech to the group And when I asked,
and this is your OBGYN program?
No, this is these are everybody but the doctors, and this is for any employee for the hospital: environmental services, medical assistants, laboratory technician, hospital engineer, nurse. So for any specialty, this isn't just for OBGYN. But when I talk to the folks and ask, you know, actually a very small percentage of them at that point in life kind of really have a good sense about their real health status. And when I asked a recent group whether or not they think that a cooking class as part of employee or new employee orientation would be something they'd be interested in, every single hand in the room shot up in the air.
Wonderful.
People are hungry to learn. So what I hope to do, and maybe sometime I can tell you about in a few months, just in a personal conversation, I'd hope to tell you about what it's like to teach a cooking class to new employees as part of the encouragement for them to, you know, live well, take good care of themselves, and take good care of their families.
I'm very excited about this. This is so thrilling. And, you know, it's better than a benefit, isn't it? It's like
I think so. Because and think about the economics. If you take a family of four, let's say a couple of parents and two teenagers, and you go to just a standard family restaurant of some kind, you may spend $40 to $60 by the time you get drinks and tax and dessert and everything else.
Right.
It is absolutely possible to cook a great meal at home for four people for less than $15.
That's right.
And
right.
If one night a week more is spent at home for people, and you multiply that times 50 weeks, you can give yourself a substantial raise in this down economy just by learning to cook at home.
Wow.
And I'm thinking about it in terms of wellness for your wallet. You know, you talk about a wellness program. Well, here's the best thing to do. Invest in a chef's knife and a cutting board, and I'll show you how to do it.
I like wellness for your wallet as much as I like pick up your prescription and your green beans.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and that does happen at the hospital. We have lots of patients that say that they schedule their appointments for lab tests or doctor's visits and so forth on days when we have the farmer's market.
Is it only one day a week now?
Well, most of our hospitals is just a one-day-a-week event, and but we also encourage our people that use our markets to go to other community markets. A few of our medical centers have them twice a week.
Well, that's great. Now, the other question I had that I think is fascinating me, maybe it's not so interesting, but you have people from all over the world that work in and around the hospital. Are people from other countries taking advantage of this and applying their wisdom to it as well and being supportive and excited about it?
Well, that's what I see at the market. I see many, many of the employees I know and a wide mix of people out at our market. It is not just a homogeneous crowd of foodies. It's just the wide array of folks that are out shopping at the market.
And I think it would be interesting to have different cultural approaches to how they do vegetables as well thrown in. That'd be great.
Well, in fact, I know of earlier I talked about people of goodwill who kind of create something new out of their market.
Right.
I did get an email once from a woman who is the manager of a urology department down in Southern California, and she said what they would have after their market day is to have multi-ethnic potlucks.
Ah.
You know, when everybody would say, great, you know, corn's in season, let's see what everybody does with corn, and in would come all kinds of different dishes from around the world.
Oh, that is so interesting, isn't it? That really appeals to me.
Yeah.
I'll be right there.
Yeah, no, I would love that in a second. I mean, there's such richness and so much to learn from cooking from other cultures, and what better way than to share it with your fellow, you know, people you work with on a regular basis?
I think it's really exciting, because here we all are living on half the time Mexican food and gosh knows what all. It's great, but
yes,
it's nice to see that cross-fertilization in one place.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to be gained by learning about foods from different cultures. I mean, and there's one other thing I want to mention about the markets. You know, I mentioned that our first market was all organic. Well, it's the only Kaiser Permanente market that is only organic fruits and vegetables and breads. But there are only 5 farmers markets out of 135 in the Bay Area that are all organic. Most of the market, however, our other markets are coming from small local farmers. And even though they're not certified organic, you know, these small and mid-sized local growers are, in general, not using the same levels of pesticides and chemical fertilizers and so forth that you would see in a big monocrop operation. And so, you know, what I've come away with is, while still supporting certified organic foods when you can, I'm finding for a lot of people that I'm just, the most important thing first is to encourage people to eat fresh fruits and vegetables.
Right.
First, just to make the switch from packaged and processed foods to good fresh foods. Then when, you know, you've discovered how good a spinach salad could be or raw broccoli can be, as you point out, then to talk about, well, you know, now that you're eating fresh fruits and vegetables on a regular basis, here's the importance to the farmer, here's the importance to the earth of buying foods that are grown in a way that's good for everybody.
I think that's so wonderful. Boy, are you ever making a difference? I'm very pleased. This is very exciting information.
Well, it's been such an so much fun, just incredibly fun to talk to people and to share ideas and I feel like we're just barely beginning.
You're just putting the heart back into the small farmer too. You know, that was being lost for a while.
Well, indeed, and in fact, I mentioned before the small nonprofit that, you know, is helping bring food to our inpatient meals. When we first started working with them, they were buying product from about 12 farmers. Now they're buying product from about 100 farmers. And
Wow. In
a recent survey of those farmers, 60% of the farmers said that the institutional purchasing was absolutely making a difference to their farm economics.
Isn't that wonderful?
And let me tell you, like, one story as an example. Strawberry vendor, Mr. Roberto Rodriguez from the Salinas Valley, from the Watsonville area, he's got 35 acres of strawberries. They used to be all conventionally grown strawberries. He then had a daughter 7 years ago, and because he did not want his daughter to be playing on fields with pesticides, he started growing organic berries.
Wow.
And last year, he sold 130 dozen pints of strawberries every week to Kaiser Permanente from March to October. And because of that volume of institutional business he got from us, he added 5 new farm workers.
Wow.
So the benefits, really do go beyond providing bok choy for anesthesiologists, you know.
That's so wonderful. And I have to say goodbye just because they're going to hook us off stage. But I sure enjoyed this, Dr. Mehring, and I'm really excited about what you're doing.
Well,
and if people want to be in touch with you, they can through kp.org/farmersmarketrecipes.
And yes, there's a place where they can send me an email if they wish. And I'm grateful to you for the opportunity to share the vision that we've had here at Kaiser Permanente.
Oh, I'm really excited, too. Have you guys touched Washington State yet? And then I'm going to get off here.
We've had conversations with folks there about local markets, and we'll see what happens.
All right. We'll be in touch. Thank you ever so for your presence. It's been wonderful.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, wasn't that exciting? Wasn't that a charge to know that the vegetables are going out there and people like Preston Mehring are actually being joined by many others whose hearts and integrity and consciousness are sending it out there, even the farmers and so on. I really enjoyed that. So next week, my guest is going to be, by popular request, a rerun of Donna Eden, the energy guru or energy wizardess. She's really got some amazing stuff going on. So she's going to be on at 5 o'clock, my paradigm shifter, next week. And at 4 o'clock, Radiance by Design, I think we're going to talk about more of changing systems and how they reflect deep within ourselves. Thursday night at 8 o'clock, I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti and the wonderful team on ET, Consciousness and ET, I forgot the name of her show, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And we were talking today, it's probably going to be about who am I. So many, many blessings. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for your cooperation. Email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, if you'd like either a session or comments on Dr. Mehring or suggestions for guests or just to say howdy do. Much love to you all. Take some wonderful light, run it through yourself, and then send it out there. Let's all pass it on. Many blessings.